Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, and I am your host, Garrett Miller, and I am thrilled to have you here tonight. We've got a really cool show tonight with a guest that I think that you're going to come back and listen to this interview again and again and again, and it's not for me blabbering on. It's going to be because she is that fascinating. Her name is Kara Brookins, and she's an author, mom, and all kinds of other neat things. I met her last year, but we're going to talk about all of that in just a second. Want to let you know that I did a really fun pre-taped, I say pre-taped, you know, I'm going to start using that term because there are some people I'm not going to get a chance to interview live just because of schedules and things, but I'm going to pretend that it is. So I'm telling you a little secret, and I'm not going to make any secret when we actually do it, but I did a pre-taped interview yesterday with Nicole Marie Smith out of New York City. Yes, New York City, and she's talking Kundalini yoga and overcoming challenges in life and energy and guided vision coaching and things like that. So we did a fantastic interview yesterday. It's actually up if you only want to hear the interview and not the rest of Rated G Radio's episode. You can hear it. Just go to the archives and look for the Nicole Marie Smith Sunday pre-tape show. You can listen to that anytime. And she's already had literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people tune in to listen to that. I was just looking at the numbers before the show started tonight. But that will be part of Thursday night's show. And so you'll be hearing that interview live on a Thursday night for the first time this Thursday. Tomorrow, again, Greg Archer. Wednesday, we've got it must be New York Fashion Week or something like that, because instead of having George Brescia with George B. Style, we're going to have Sarah Knapp. She's the project manager of Outdoor Rise, and it's going to be a fun summer event series in New York City, and she'll be on Wednesday's show to talk about that just in time to have it actually start. Again, Thursday we'll be playing the interview with Nicole Marie Smith, and then Friday night we have the Friday night dance party. And just to roadmap this for you, we're going to have the next big thing, or you know, the next hot thing, the next hot guy, the next whatever you want to call it. But this guy's really, really cool. I had a chance to meet him on Saturday, and I've been talking to him on Facebook. His name is John Mark. He is a recording artist, actor, entertainer out of Hollywood, and we're going to be playing some of his music on a three-peat. We're going to be hearing about what inspires him musically and just getting a chance to get to know somebody before they make it really, really big. So that is going to be Friday night, and again, that's going to be John Mark. He'll be on the show live. And without further ado, because I could go on and on and on, but I'm not going to, I'm going to bring on a dear lady that I had a chance to meet last year, Kara Brookins, who is an author, a mother, a builder, and you know, and everything else in this world. And I cannot tell you how excited that I am that we've been talking on Facebook, and you finally said, okay, I've got something to sell. Can I come on the show? I'm like, yeah, totally. So, Kara, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Garrett. It's so great to talk with you again.
Do you know how thrilled? Okay, so everybody, because I haven't really told the story. I was invited by my next-door neighbor, Jeff Michaels, who was leading you call it like a breakout seminar or something like that at a writer's workshop last summer?
It was, yeah.
Okay.
It was a writer's workshop, yes.
And it was here in Newport Beach, and Jeff says, just come on down. And I'm like, okay, gets me out of the house. I don't need to be a shut-in today, you know, because I tend to do a little bit of that. And I went down to the event, and I sat down and listened to Jeff start talking and having the entire, you know, room interact. And it was just really fun hearing the energy and ideas and the inspiration. And in walks this amazing lady. And, you know, kind of like in movies, you know, when the princess walks in and the sun shines behind her and the light glows.
Oh,
that's kind of what
sweet.
Happened with Kara. And then she comes over and then she sits next to me and I'm like, okay, I'm the frog and she's the princess. Okay, I get it. I see how this is going to work. But you got out your iPad. We compared iPads because I had mine and you had yours with a keyboard, and I was very
That's
impressed
true,
with your
right.
keyboard. And so after the workshop was over, I just said, you know, you look like somebody I want to be best friends with, so tell me all about yourself. And so we had a chance to visit. And I said, you know, I kind of do this, you know, little radio show thing. It's not a big darn deal, but boy, it'd be fun to have on the show sometime. And just like it is with everybody, when the timing is right, it works out. And so tonight's the night.
And I'm so excited.
Yay. Okay, so I'm going to be quiet because I want you to tell everybody your story about, and we want to talk about Mark of the Centipede. We want to talk about Treasure Quest. We want to talk about, you know, the book that you're working on that's involving reality TV and all of that fun stuff. But would you tell us your story first? Because this is a story of inspiration that just, if it doesn't make you cry, just tears of joy at the outcome, I don't know what will.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, you know, it's something that absolutely changed my life forever, even though I didn't know going in that I was doing something quite as profound as it turned out to be. I was a victim of domestic violence, and I have four children. And when we left that situation, we were really sort of destroyed. Our finances were in a mess, and our self-esteem were absolutely shattered. And we kind of needed to do something just big to rebuild ourselves and our family ties, and we also kind of needed a place to live. So we just chatted about, hey, why don't we build a house? And it didn't start out that we would build the entire thing ourselves. You know, we kind of thought that we would hire people to do parts of it. But once we started drawing pictures of what we wanted and drawing out some plans, it got really big, and it turned into a full two-story house with five bedrooms and three bathrooms and a three-car garage. And we started adding up how much it was going to cost to buy the supplies and discovered that it was really going to be all of our money to buy an acre of land and the supplies to build it. So if we really wanted this thing, we were going to have to build it ourselves. And so we started researching, you know, how to build a house just on YouTube, and how to run plumbing and how to build rafters. And we literally just watched these videos. And even though it was pretty, you know, confusing and stressful at the start, we really didn't think it was going to be a big deal until we actually got started. And it was pretty apparent early on. We were in over our heads. I mean, way over our heads.
Okay, so tell everybody, how many kids do you have, and how old were they when you started the house? And
go ahead.
No, go ahead, because that's exactly what I was going to ask. Go ahead.
I have four kids, and at the time that we started building, my oldest daughter, Hope, was 17, and my oldest son, Drew, was 15. My younger daughter, Jada, was 11, and little Roman was only 2. So that was a big inspiration, too.
You had a full house to begin with, and you were building your house.
Right. And I also have a full-time job. I'm a computer programmer analyst. I develop computer software systems.
Oh, yeah. And you know, you have this full-time job, and you write books.
Right.
You do everything.
Right.
Okay. So
I was going to school, actually, because I had started writing books, and I had published a couple and decided I really didn't know what I was doing. So I had also gone back to school. So I was taking a couple of classes at the time, too. So why I thought I had time to build a house, I'm really not sure. But we worked it in, evenings and weekends. And we had a nine-month time frame to build the house. So we really didn't have a lot of time. It wasn't as though we could just relax, kick back, and do a bit at a time. We were under a time crunch.
So how? Okay,
and we
now,
were in the city limits, too. So we had to meet all of building codes and inspections.
Okay. Now, I don't know if I knew that before. So how did you – okay, now – this is not just like a house. It's 3,500 square feet of an amazing house.
Big house. Yes.
It's a big house for your big family. So who imposed 9 months on you to say, okay, you got 9 months and you got to have it done? Was that something you did or somebody else?
No, that was the bank, because I had to get a construction loan to build the house.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
A construction loan is a nine-month loan. So within 9 months, I had to close on the house and have, you know, a permit that it was completed and livable.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so you got the inspiration. Yeah, and I loved how you came up with the idea of how you were going to make all of this happen, because that to me is just, that's the you know, Lifetime movie of the week all in itself. How did you find YouTube as a source of training on how to do stuff? And maybe it's just because I know so little about how all of this works. But that to me is just, that's hugely inspirational. Somebody at Home Depot go check out the YouTube and you'll figure it out.
Well, you know, being a programmer, I'm a bit of a computer geek anyhow, so I'm pretty familiar with I need to learn something new, even within programming or learning a new language, but I'm going to Google it and see what comes up. And because I needed a visual, not just words, of course, YouTube had the video that would, I was, you know, looking at like plumbers in Jersey that gave these great descriptions of how to run plumbing in a house. I had never seen pipes inside of a wall before, so I really had no idea what I was doing. And they let me pull a plumbing permit and plumb my house, and I ran gas lines and everything, so It was a little bit terrifying.
Okay, so you really have the endless source of material for books and movies for years and years to come. So let's get to what you're really here to talk about tonight. It's your writing career, and that's how we met at the Writers Conference this last year. You're a published author. Do you want to talk new stuff, or can we talk your old stuff and build up to the new stuff? What's good for you?
Whichever way you'd like to do it.
Well, let's start with how you started writing, because I think you told me a couple of the projects that you started working on and were working on when we met, and I know that that's really come to fruition right now. So tell me about the first couple of books and what inspired you to do that. Did you have training on how to do this? What worked well for you? What didn't work? What would you do again? What would you do differently?
Well, you know, when you just asked me, did I have training, I'm kind of thinking that no, I jump into everything not knowing what I'm doing, because I certainly did that with the first book. I just decided that I wanted to write a book. I was always an avid reader, and so I wrote one, and I honestly just thought that there were lots of publishers out there wishing people would write books. I didn't realize that it was supposed to be hard, so I wrote this little book for my kids. It's called Doors Free. And it's about a little girl growing up during the Depression in Wisconsin, which is where I grew up. And I just wanted my kids to kind of have a sense of how their great-grandmother grew up. And it's a fictional story. But stuck it in an envelope and mailed it to a publisher, and they bought it.
Well, so that's how hard it is, people. If you want to write a book, just write it and mail it off.
Really, that was the worst thing that ever could have happened. Well, it gave me the confidence that I needed to continue.
Okay.
Because then I thought it was easy, you know. Then I thought, oh, I can just do like one of these every couple of months, and I'm good. But really, I didn't know what I was doing. I really was plotting poorly, and I had a lot to learn. So that's why I wrote another one. I wrote Gadget Geeks, which came out actually well. I was in the middle of building the house. That one was released. But, you know, then I did, like I said, I went back to school. I did try to learn more about the craft. I started attending writers' conferences, which was wonderful. And meeting, you know, kind of my people who think like me, which was great. And then I wrote some more. You know, I wrote the Time Shifter series, which is the one that just came out this last week. And that's a trilogy. And now I'm writing adult novels. So it was really a progression of me learning how to do it on the job, just like building the house was.
I am so fascinated by you. You inspire me in so many levels. I feel like I'm – you make me want to go do more, and I feel like I do a lot, but now it's like, okay, now I've got to go and do so much more. So I want to talk about Mark of the Centipede, because that's the new book that just came out, but can you talk about the book that was number two last week on Amazon that you had out?
Oh, that was so much fun. This is actually a short story, and it's called Treasure Quest, and it is about a 15-year-old boy who discovers a Civil War treasure that was buried by his ancestors in Arkansas. And it was a lot of fun to write, and then we are giving away the first three chapters of Mark of the Centipede with the purchase of that book. But we did a free promo this last weekend on it and gave away lots of copies, and it reached number two in Children's Action Adventure on Amazon. So that was really exciting. I was pumped up to be right up there with, you know, like Treasure Island was beating me, but I was willing to give Treasure Island that win. So
that was
really exciting.
You can let Treasure Island be number one. You were in a fine spot with number two with Treasure Quest on Amazon. So if you're listening and you want a great kid's book, Treasure Quest is available on Amazon right now. And, again, that's Kara Brookins. She's our special VIP guest author tonight. But let's get into Mark of the Centipede. It's a trilogy. It's a new series for you. And tell us as much as you can. Wet our whistle a little bit.
Okay. Well, it is about a 15-year-old boy, Jordan Booker, who's launched millions of years into the past. but it's an ancient past that's a lot different from the history books. And he has to discover a collection of artifacts and deliver them to some guardians of the earth before a time ranger finds and kills him. So he discovers this time capsule, and on his first journey, he befriends an intelligent wolf pup who's a lot of fun. He names him Stinky, and he becomes kind of a guardian and a friend, not just a pet. And together, they have to get away from the time ranger and pretty much save the earth, but they have to do this over the course of 3 books. And each journey goes further and further into the past. And we have some technologically advanced human beings. They built the time capsule. So we get a little bit steampunk by the 3rd book. So it's a lot of fun. I got to create a whole world and creatures and flora and fauna that were all new and multicolored. And it was really a lot of fun to write.
So is this a book that's geared more for kids, or is this something that young adults, adults, old adults would like? Who's your target for this? Because when I was reading the little preview on this, I was like, this is something I think I would like to read. Because it's kind of action-adventure, fantasy, you know, history a little bit.
And it feels a little sci-fi in places, some people have told me, because I got to invent lots of different, you know, mechanisms and creatures. But absolutely, the protagonist is 15 years old. I would probably not rate it below a 10 or 11-year-old because there is some violence, some wars and injuries and things. But absolutely, young adult is really hot right now that a lot of adults are reading and enjoying. So I would say that I hope it's for everyone.
Well, so Mark of the Centipede could be like the new Twilight or the new Harry Potter or something like that, right?
Well,
would you be okay with that?
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Wouldn't
that be exciting?
Well, enjoy the day job. Writing full-time would be ideal.
So okay, I want to go back to the book.
Let me rephrase that. I write full-time now, but what would be ideal would be writing full-time exclusively and not working 2 full-time jobs.
There you go. You know, being a computer programmer is fun, but it's not the same as writing.
That is true.
So can you describe – now, here's what – okay, and you know this. When I tell you and I'm when I do the setup here, you know this because this is exactly why you had the picture taken the way it is. Your library tells about 10 million stories with just the one picture that you have with you in the library. It is probably one of the funnest, most richly textured pictures I think I've ever seen. And as not only as a writer, but it just tells it. It just says that you have character, you have intrigue, you have mystery, you have so many stories to tell, all with that picture of you. How did you decide that that was really going to be like your calling card?
Well, it's history, and I think that a big part of my life is there was a lot of negative history, and while I have to hold on to all of that, I'm all about moving forward. So while I can have all of this history surrounding and supporting me, I'm a big forward looker. So I'm in my library right now, and it's, of course, my favorite room in the house. And this is where I write my own future.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Do you like to have people friend you on Facebook, or do you have a Facebook fan page or a Twitter account or anything like that?
I do. I have all of those things, and I'm happy to friend people on my personal page. It's Kara Brookin. And Time Shifters Books also has a page.
And I don't think I knew about that one. Oh,
yes,
so I need to go find Time Shifter Books. Okay. And
right.
So I'll put all of that on the Facebook page. Oh, yep. What's the web page? Let me write that down, too.
And that's www.carabrookins.com. And there are pictures of the house build on the website, as well as my kids always put a few up on Facebook, so there's some up on Facebook.
Okay.
And
so we're gonna...
go ahead.
No, go ahead. So we have Time Shifters Books on Facebook. We have KaraBrookins.com. We have Kara Brookins on the Book of the Face. How else can people find you? Should we be checking?
Time Shifters Books website, which is www.timeshiftersbooks.com.
Okay, cool. Very good. Go ahead.
Oh, then of course, there's Twitter, which I think I'm CM Brookins on Twitter. I always forget. Excuse
I think
me,
you are C.M. Brookins.
I believe it's C.M. Brookins, yes.
Because I think that's how I found you a little bit earlier when I was trying to send it out on the Twitterverse. So now you have a couple of other books that you were either working on or in process of. One is a book dealing with a family. Is it in West Virginia?
Oh, that's in Kentucky, in the Appalachian.
Or in Kentucky, sorry. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Back there. Can you give us a little secret sneak peek on that?
That one is so much fun. This one is a completed novel. I have a couple of agents who are interested in it. I haven't sold it yet. I call it Little Boy Blue, and it is about a woman who intentionally has babies with a genetic abnormality in order to land a reality television show. And this is set in the Appalachian Mountains, and she keeps the children in seclusion until she's ready to reveal them for the show. And the disorder, which is a real genetic disorder called methemoglobinemia, causes their skin to be blue. So they have blue skin, and their blood is actually chocolate brown. And, well, in real life, there's a cure for this disorder. She chooses not to cure them. And so she has these blue children, and her oldest child is the only white child in the family. So he is dealing with a crisis, and that someone in the family is trying to kill him.
Oh, my gosh.
So this is a psychological thriller, and he has to figure out which of his family members is trying to kill him. And then we have a reality television show that sort of is running in the background, and it's their first introduction to the real world.
Do you realize, okay, you must hear this a lot, but when you speak about your books, the way you describe them, I see like motion pictures. I mean, you just paint a picture so clearly about.
Well, I hope so.
And I'm thinking, okay, I see this actor playing this part, or I could see, you know, this house or this background. Oh my gosh, I am so excited for that. Now, when is that one? That one's being shopped, right?
That it's being shopped, right? I have not sold that one yet.
Okay, so that one will be sold by the end of the week. Okay.
I hope
and then,
so. I really hope so. I've been doing too many promotions for the other book. I haven't had time to even shop these others that I've completed. So.
Well, that's a nice problem to have. That pesky day job. Well, that pesky, you know, day job does put, you know, food on the table. So we'll be, you know, we're always grateful for that. I'm in the same boat, you know. Yep, it's a necessary evil, and we're very grateful for it. And then you're also working on a book out of, what the characters are out of Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yes. Oh, and this one is, you know, it's like comedy mystery. It's a women's comedy. And I actually wrote this one before Little Boy Blue. And after maintaining a comic voice for a while, I had to write the dark book next. But this one is about a female divorce attorney. And her law practice is struggling a little bit. And she starts handing out these voodoo dolls to her clients that look like they're soon to be ex-spouse. So we have these, like, doctor voodoo dolls and police officer voodoo dolls. And she's doing it just kind of as a feel-good therapy thing, kind of like getting a free T-shirt for stopping by. But, of course, the voodoo dolls have to have some effect. They work. Some of the effects are comic and some of them are dangerous. And in the meantime, she has an intern who is kidnapped. And we do help solve the case a bit. I'm really hoping that this will be a series. I really enjoyed writing the voodoo book. I mean, who gets to read voodoo spells at midnight? It was a blast.
I know. This is crazy. So you have science fiction. You've got young adults. You've got young kids. You've got murder mysteries. You've got a woman's, you know, this women's series. How do you come up with your ideas? Where do you get your inspiration?
You know, agents and editors really hate that. They really like people who, like, you know, like Lee Child, you pick kind of a book and you stick with it and they can brand you. So it's actually really difficult if you're like me and you jump all over the place. I like to write about anything that intrigues me, and I have a book of probably 75 different novels already that I really want to write. And they are still all the way from children to adult to I have a series I want to write for the prison system of, like, early readers for adults. It's kind of a comical early reader for adults. You know, so it's really everything. Just, I have ideas all the time. I don't watch television. I do watch movies. But, gosh, my kids are so tired of, oh, wouldn't it be a cool book if, you know, and they're like, oh,
uh-huh.
Mom, really?
Mom, come on. Now, so do you keep like a little notepad or when you start to get an inspiration, does it come to you like in the middle of the night while you're doing computer programming during the day? I mean, how do you jot your notes down and when do you find time to even say, you know what, I'm going to go back and write today?
Well, I try to write every night, but the way that I keep track of everything is I keep, of course, computer folders, and I use Dropbox so that I can access it from any of my devices. And I also use voice recorders because it seems like I have really great ideas when I'm driving, and rather than endanger anyone, I just pop on the voice recorder and I speak into that. And I use that to sort out a lot of plot problems in books, too. I sit there and talk to myself and then listen to it. But and it's really hard when I finish a project to decide which one of those I'm going to write next. So that's really always the crisis. I finished a book. Now I have 75 to write. Which one is it going to be? And it's really the one that kind of strikes my fancy the most at that moment. In fact,
right.
When I decided to write Little Boy Blue, it was just actually one of my newest ideas. So I kind of abandoned all those orphan children out there and grabbed the newest one because it was exciting to me. And you'll know, I said earlier, you know, I had written the Weedy novel, and it was funny. I had to maintain this level of wit that takes a certain amount of energy. So after that, I really wanted to do something very different, and that's where Little Boy Blue came from. So,
I don't think you're going to get much different from Voodoo going to Blue Kids.
Probably not, no.
Yeah.
And from humor to really dark thriller, yeah.
So, Kara, our time's wrapping up. And before I let you go, do you have any words of encouragement or wisdom for any budding writers that are out there that would like to follow in your footsteps?
Oh, I think just be fearless. Just jump out there and do it. You know, I was afraid for a long time in my life, and I think that the turning point for me was building the house and just learning to be fearless. Don't be afraid to try anything. Figure out your worst-case scenario, and as long as it's not death, jump in and just do it.
There you go. Everybody, that's Kara Brookins, author. Go out, buy her book, first of a trilogy. It's called Mark of the Centipede, and that is off of Buzz Books. And Buzz Books USA at me.com is the publisher. Is that correct? Did I say that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, good. So Buzz Books USA is the publisher. And again, it's Mark of the Centipede. Go out, buy it wherever fine books are sold. Check it out on Amazon. I believe, if I'm reading it correctly, it's $13.95 for paperback, $5.99 for ebook. And that's a bargain, folks, for clearly what's going to be first of a fantastic series. So check out Kara. She's on timeshifterbooks.com, KaraBrookins.com, and CM Brookins on the Twitter. And we'll be back after this. Kara, thank you very much for being on Rated G Radio tonight. I wish you lots of luck, and I'm just so appreciative of you to take your time tonight.
Thank you so much, Kara. It was really a lot of fun.
There we go. Everybody, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Elvis Costello with Every Day I Write the Book, and I actually got that song about like 30 seconds before the show started tonight. I was like, you know, maybe I should find a book or find a song that has the word book in it or something like that. So I was checking on iTunes and going through, you know, all little search things, and I found a really good rap song, and of course you know how much I love rap, so that was a pass automatically, and I found a couple of other songs, and said, you know what, that Elvis Costello song sounds kind of cool, so I'm going to grab that one and then play that after Kara's on the show. So just to let you know, her second book in the series on Mark of the Centipede, that's the book that just came out this week, will be hitting bookstores in November. So Kara will be back on the show probably late October to promote book number two of Mark of the Centipede trilogy. And I encourage you to go and buy that wherever fine books are sold. So I guess I'm hearing from some people back in Salem, Oregon tonight on Facebook. They said that seems less important after watching CNN about Oklahoma, but Marion County people, that's people in the Salem-Kaiser area, please remember to vote so the crazy write-in candidate doesn't win just because there was a low turnout. So it's a school district election of some kind, but it's not getting a lot of hype, but there is some right-wing whack job. Say that five times fast. Right-wing whack job. Who didn't step up and run for office, but instead are trying to sneak in as a write-in. That's from my friend Carrie. So she says, go and vote tomorrow and don't vote for the right-wing wreck robs. Right-wing wreck jobs. There we go. I can't say that five times fast. Okay, don't ever ask me to walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. Here is another little tidbit in Moore, Oklahoma. So if you want to talk about all the people that are displaced by the tornadoes that are going on, we send them a lot of warm thoughts and prayers and all that good stuff. And of course, when you have natural disasters, you have a lot of animals who are displaced. Homeowners, you know, good, better, and different, maybe looking for them, or maybe dead, or maybe in the hospital, or whatever the case may be. And there's a lot of animals that are going to be out there just wandering around. And help is there. There's an animal rescue center in Moore, Oklahoma. They're taking in pets misplaced by the tornado. They're located just north of Moore at the I-240 and the I-35 intersection. Their address is 7949 South I-35 Service Road. And their phone number is 405-604-2892. If you want to find out more information about that, go to my Facebook page at The Garrett Miller and click on the article there, and you'll find out more. I don't really know if there is an article. It just basically says that. So if you know of anybody who's in Oklahoma, can't find their pets, or finds pets and needs a place to take them or get some help, there you go. The Animal Rescue Center in Moore, Oklahoma, 405-604-2892 is their phone number. Again, they're located at 7949 South I-35 Service Road in Moore, Oklahoma. Here's an article that is going to really gross you out, so of course I can't wait to bring it to you. The CDC, don't swallow the water. There's not just pee in the pool, there's poo too. So with summer swim season just a few weeks away, there's something the Federal Health Department wants you to know about public pools. Most of them are swimming with fecal bacteria. Doesn't that sound delicious? The Center for Disease Control and Prevention tested pools last year in Atlanta and found that most had signs of fecal contamination. To blame are swimmers who didn't shower well before diving in, or perhaps had an accident in the pool. Now, okay, I'm reading the article, but right off to the right side of this, it says LA voters face three medical marijuana measures, and right above it they have pictures of medical marijuana. It looks like poo. Okay. So it says, though the tests were performed in Atlanta, the agency noted results were not likely to differ much elsewhere. Los Angeles, where I live, has some year-round public pools, but most open at the start of the summer swim season on June 15th in another couple of weeks. For the Atlanta study, CDC scientists tested for E. coli bacteria in public pool water filters, a bacteria normally found in the digestive tract and of the poo. The test came back positive in 58% of the pools tested. In about as many samples, they found other bacterium that can cause rashes and ear infections. It's a little bit scary, says Allison Shamaratera. She's a mother from Sherman Oaks. They should test for that kind of stuff. Trish Delgado, the aquatics director for the City of L.A. Police or Department of Parks and Recreation, said that the L.A. County Health Department checked for chemical content in pools once an hour and more often when crowds are bigger. The chlorine will kill the bacteria that's in the water, she says. In Atlanta, though, the pools tested did contain chlorine, although how much is not clear. Delgado would not comment when asked if there's any or if there's always some level of fecal matter in public pools, referring such questions to the health department. She did say, though, that such problems are mitigated in this city, Los Angeles, unlike some others. We require soap showers prior to entering the facility, she said. If a person uses the restroom, we ask them to go back and take a shower. Swimmers with diarrhea pose a more serious threat to fellow swimmers as they could spread the bacteria causing their ailment into the water. Okay. Remember, chlorine and other disinfectants don't kill germs instantly, Michelle Velasa, chief of CDC's Healthy Swimming Program, said in a written statement. Her recommendations, don't swim with diarrhea, do shower before taking a dip, and definitely don't swallow the pool water. Now, when I heard this on the news, I think it was coming on last week, I was just like, ugh, that is just so gross. So, I haven't swam in a public pool in years, and I wish I could give you a better reason other than I just haven't. I think it's probably because the last two houses I had swimming pools, and I didn't swim in that because I had Labradors who thought that the pool were their private pond, and anytime you would get into it, they would, jump in, on, around to try to play fetch in the pool. So swimming for me has just become something that is, not looked forward to on any level whatsoever. Let's talk about pets. Pets, man. In the Orange County Animal Shelter, there's a little guy out there tonight. His name is Pee-wee. He's not that you're going to write down the tag number, but if you want to check him out, he's really cute. He's on Facebook. Pee-wee's number is A1241668. He's a one-year-old neutered male tan chihuahua. Much cuter in person. His pictures are pretty cute. He has been at the Orange County Shelter for 6 weeks. And that is pretty much unheard of. His days are numbered. So if you are in the market for a dog, he is a one-year-old neutered male tan chihuahua, looks like a real sweetheart, and is just waiting for somebody to come and adopt him. I can't believe he's been there 6 weeks. This guy is adorable and is waiting for another home. So if you have a chance to take a look at my Facebook page again, please share the post, go adopt him, or donate some money to help other pets in need. Did you see, everybody's seen the Matrix series. So you've seen the Matrix. You've seen, what was the movie he did with Sandra Bullock and, the Mailbox movie or whatever? I thought that movie was actually kind of dumb, to be quite honest. But I actually did like the Matrix series. In the news, in Hollywood news today, Keanu Reeves looks bloated at the Cannes Film Festival, and whoever took this picture really needed to do some fancy photoshopping on him. I know if my buddy Jay Jones had taken the picture, there's no way he would have released that unless he got a nice big fat check. So Keanu Reeves is 48. If you get a chance to go click on the link on Facebook, it's Hope Floats. There we go. No, Hope Floats is the one. Isn't that – Jay's giving me movie titles in the chat room. Isn't Hope Floats the one where that's with Harry Connick Jr. and Sandra Bullock? I'm thinking that is. But back to Keanu. So Keanu Reeves, 48, spotted at the Cannes Film Festival, looking quite different than the slim, hipped looker he was a decade ago. The actor whose last hit movie was in 2003, which saw the release of both The Matrix Revolutions, and Something's Gotta Give is at the French Film Festival to promote his directorial debut, The Man of Tai Chi. I think he could stand to do some Tai Chi. But he didn't seem quite ready for the spotlight on Sunday. That was yesterday. Wearing baggy jeans, a gray V-neck tee, and a linen blazer, the former hunk sported stubble, shaggy hair, and a noticeably bloated appearance as he stepped off the yacht Odessa in the French Riviera. The next day, Reeves cleaned up, thankfully, for his movie's photo call. Dressed in a black blazer and a navy tee, the actor looked groomed, clean-shaven, and more like the actor audiences first swooned for in Speed. You're not going to swoon for him here. The actor spoke to GQ last year about aging. He says, "My knees are well aware of it. Mortality is very different when you're 20 to when you're 50. He said, "It creeps in here and there, doesn't it? You look out the F-King window." So I think it's like the effing window, but it's F-King window is how it's written here. "And then you think about your eyes closing." So if you, yeah, there we go. Okay, Anita has the answer. Ding, 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 Anita, you're a winner, chicken dinner. It's The Lake House. So do you remember the movie The Lake House with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock? I thought, you know, it's a cute movie, but nothing fantastic. So it's The Lake House. There we go. Jay got The Lake House, too. So you're both winners. But if you take a look at this picture of Keanu Reeves off of Yahoo's OMG page, let me tell you, that's the first word that I said was OMG. Let's talk about, okay, what else? I've got a lot of stuff to cover tonight. I want to say a big thank you again to Jay for doing my music video on Eyes Wide. We've hit past the 500 mark. I think we're approaching the 600 mark probably tonight. So Jay Jones, acclaimed photographer out of Los Angeles. He's currently in New York shooting several big fashion shoots and VIPs and celebrities right now. Hopefully he's coming back soon because I need him to do some promo work for me for Eyes Wide. But his video is now, you know, getting seen more and more every single day by everybody. So thank you very much for taking a look at that. And, last pet thing, and then I'm going to play a couple of songs and we'll come back. If you have a chance to go see this, it's on my Facebook page. I posted it on May 15th. It says, "Bedtime Singing Does the Trick." And this guy, this guy has a litter of five little dogs. They look like maybe like boxer type of puppies. And they're all like whining and crying, and he sings his puppies to sleep. It is the cutest thing you are ever going to see. And I will tell you, you have to go take a look at this. I think the video lasts a whopping minute. So if you get a chance to do it, please do that. I'm going to play a couple of songs. We'll be back and wrap up the night on Rated G Radio this Monday night.
There was a time I was everything. When you found me, I was feeling like a cloud across the sun. I need to tell you how you light up every second of the day. But in the but it's
got his ring, and he's got the keys to her heart. It's just a matter of time they'll feather wings and fly like two sparrows in a hurricane, trying to find their way with a head full of dreams and faith that can move anything. They've heard it's all appealing, but all they know is how they feel. The world says they'll never. Love says they will. There's a baby crying and one more on the way. There's a wolf at the door with a big stack of bills they can't pay. The clouds are dark and the wind is high. But they can see the other side. Like two sparrows in a hurricane, trying to find their way with a head full of dreams and faith that can move anything. They've heard it all up. All they know is how they feel. The world says they'll never make it. Love says they will. She's 83 and he's barely driving a car. She's got his ring. He's got the key to her heart. It's just a matter of time. They'll spread their wings and fly like two sparrows in a hurricane, trying.
They say heaven, love comes first. We'll make heaven our place.
was a little Belinda Carlisle with Heaven is a Place on Earth, and there must be a reason that I played that song, because that was not the song I was going to play. I had something entirely else set up and queued up, and boom, I hit that button instead. So again, you know, all things happen for a reason. So here's a little Twilight Zone moment. Number one, Wednesday night, I want to remind you that Rebecca of I Am Rebecca, my co-host from the Garrett and Rebecca show last summer, she has her own highly rated, meaning she blows my numbers out of the water every single week, like 100 to 1, which is impressive in itself. She has a fantastic show. She's an intuitive psychic, and she is live every Wednesday night here on Blog Talk Radio from 7 to 8:30. I think she does a 90-minute show, if that is correct. Because whenever I'm around and out and about and I can do it, I actually try to listen in, which is not very often because I'm usually live 7 to 8. So if I can catch that last half hour, I actually try to do that. So make sure to tune in live to listen to Rebecca this week. If you want to ask a question of an intuitive psychic nature, that means, how's my job? Am I dating the right person? You know, do these jeans make me look fat? You know, those types of things. Call in and ask Rebecca, because she will give you some great insight, and I encourage you to do that. But you have to call early. Her show really is that popular. You can call in, I think, up to 15 minutes before the show actually starts. Get in a queued line. That means you're going to have to wait in line, and hopefully she can take your call during that 90 minutes. But fret not. You know, you can also check her out at iamrebecca.com and find her on Facebook at I Am Rebecca. She's got a great book called The List. So if you want to go and read up on that, go on to Amazon. See, it's Authors Night. We've got Anita in the chat room tonight. She's a fantastic author out of Central Oregon. We had Kara Brookins on earlier talking about Mark of the Centipede. We have Rebecca Fisk with The List. So the list goes on and on and on and on. So this gets back to Heaven is a Place on Earth with Belinda Carlisle. So I am friends with a really cool guy out of the southeast part of the country named Dwayne. He owns, builds, does stuff with television stations, and I've been talking to him for a while. We're actually going to be collaborating on a show together, a TV show. There are going to be more details to follow, but we have a gentleman's agreement that we're going to be doing a show together, and we are going to have just a great time doing this. And he's actually inspired me to write one of the new songs that's going to be coming out on my new EP this summer. It's called Fog. So everybody goes, Fog, that sounds really creepy, but it really stands for flavor of God or favor of God, you know. So it's, you know, like, let the fog lift you up, you know. So anyway, there's a whole concept behind it. So I want to say a big thanks to Dwayne for giving me some inspiration on fogging in your life and having a different perspective on what that word can actually mean for you. So here's what's happening, folks. Kara was on tonight, talked about Mark of the Centipede. She's got Treasure Quest, number 2 rated book on all of Amazon yesterday. We've got hit writers on our show. Treasure Quest, number 2 on Amazon. Go get that. It's a time travel book. She's got a new book coming out that she's shopping on, a reality show with Blue Kid. She's also got a book. It's a new series, a women's series based in Little Rock, Arkansas, about voodoo dolls. At least this one is. And, of course, she shared her story about building her own home in the face of great adversity. But it's an amazing house. It's like 3,500 square feet. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Go to Kara Brookins, not Brookings. It's not. There's no G at the end. KaraBrookins.com or TimeShiftersBooks.com for more information. Tomorrow night, Greg Archer is going to join us. He's our Hollywood hottie, the Prince of Pop. He'll be talking about all of the Hollywood gossip. He's actually in New York, though. So if you are friends with Greg Archer on the Book of the Face, you can actually find him there talking about all of his travels and exploits and shopping and all the stuff that he's doing. So we'll get a full lineup from him. Again, Thursday night, Sarah Knapp, project manager with Outdoor Rise, New York City. She'll be on the show. Thursday, more New York stuff. This isn't like New York week. I should just move there. What I need to do is have Jay call into the show and have Jay be a guest and talk about photography one night while he's still back in New York, because he's listening to the show live right now. But we'll have Nicole Marie Smith talking about Kundalini Yoga on Thursday's show. And then Friday night, we've got a current dance music marathon for 2 hours, and we're going to feature the new music of John Mark. He's going to be the next big thing in the music business, and you'll hear him here first with 3 of his new hit singles, and I'm super, super excited to hear what you think, because I heard the music and I was like, this is kind of somebody to watch. And he has agreed to be on the show. So we'll welcome him on Friday night. With that, everybody, our time is up. I want to thank everybody again for being part of Rated G Radio. Love being here. Love being part of a featured program on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great night. I will see you tomorrow, and make today the best day of your life.